Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Robin Christofferson.
Oh, hello, welcome to Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, by with Robin Christofferson again. Hi, Robin.
Hello.
Oh, here we go again. Another hour of Tech Talk. I am excited because we've got so much to get through. And if you're a fan of the Amazon Echo this week, Robin, well, I think it's going to be a good week for our listeners because we've got so much to talk about. I mean, look, we're going to be talking about the Amazon Echo show. This was actually something you featured on your Dot to Dot podcast.
Plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Absolutely. So the Dot to Dot podcast, which we created, by the way, just saying. This was a review of the Amazon Echo show, which is the Amazon Echo with a screen. That's right, isn't it?
One of, yep, that and the Spot, which is a little clock, bedside clock thing.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, the Echo Spot. And they are accessible, which is good. We'll find out how. David Woodbridge from Vision Australia talks us through that. As well as that, Kevin Satisabal tells us all about the new Virgin Trains Amazon Echo skill. And I have to tell you, it's quite a long piece he does for us, but, you know, it is so worth listening to because it really does explain how the whole thing works from end to end. So we're going to hear that today. And if that's not enough for you, we've got emails. Oh, you know we love the emails. So we've got your emails coming up as well, and lots more besides. That's all coming up here on Tech Talk today. But before all of that, let's kick things off with rather interesting stuff that is happening in the world of tech and assistive or accessible tech at the moment. Sad news for the UK Train Times app, unfortunately. A lot of people I'm noticing on forums, Robin, talking about this, saying that they are looking for something new to find UK Train Times in a more accessible fashion. The app that was developed by an organisation in the UK, I think, has been discontinued, and some people are suggesting a new app by, and I hope I get this right, Dorada mm-hmm. app software. This is called UK Live Trains, and you've been you've downloaded it already.
I like it. I really like it. Very clean. For anyone that's used the Train Times, the old Train Times app, it's really quite similar. It has more functionality, though. It has push notifications. It is ad-supported out of the box, so you do have to pay if you want to get rid of those ads and have those push notifications. But yeah, really nice. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's trying to find... This is the issue I've had, is often trying to find train times when you're at a train station. You know, so you think, I'll just use the app and I'll quickly find this. And it's not the easiest, you know. You do have your issues trying to find the information in a hurry, you know. Whereas, you know, if you're obviously spending time working out your train times in advance, that's obviously the right thing to do. Then, you know, you don't have a problem. But, you know, if you get to the train station and you think, oh, I'll just find out when the next train is to wherever, that is not always the easiest. So that's good if there's a new app that's come along. I'll be interested to hear folks' views on that. I'll tell you one I've been using. Which I think is amazing. It's the Accessible Train Times website, which is really simple. It's not an app, but it is a website you can use. Works on the iPhone as well. Traintimes.org.uk, which is really simple, and it's an accessible website. Have you tried that one?
Yes, I have. Really, really good. Very clean. But actually, I think that this app, doing it on a mobile device, is even simpler, is even quicker. So as accessible as that one is, it just takes that many more keystrokes and tabs and things. So, yeah, but it is really, really good.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I thought the traintimes.org.uk was simple. So if this is simpler than that, when, wow. I mean, look, if I can work it, then anyone can work it, quite frankly. Okay, so that's one we just wanted to mention up first because, well, you know, it's one of those things. If you're looking for information and train times info, then, you know, you want to be able to get access to it. But let's move over to the Amazon Echo. Now, for a long time, we've talked about this being a brilliant device for blind and partially sighted people. Of course it is. You know, it's a buttonless, buttonless, screenless device that you can talk to. you can have a conversation with. You don't need to see it to use it. And I think that's what's wonderful about it. However, as the sighted folk like to do, Robin, they weren't really happy with that. So they stuck a screen on the latest ones. the Amazon Echo Show. Now, we're going to hear in a minute all about how to use it if you're blind or partially sighted, because it does have accessibility. My question to you is, have you got one?
No, and I've got no interest in it at all, to be honest. You know, why? I mean, it does add additional functionality and it will allow you to run some skills or enable some skills that do require a screen that you otherwise couldn't use. But, you know, they're not really for us who have no useful vision at all.
But that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm like, what do I do with this thing that I can't do with my Amazon Echo? And you know, what are the benefits? I mean, yeah, I can watch videos. Hooray. Really? I mean, that's no good to me. I don't see any benefit to that. I'm not saying that people with partial sight who have got enough useful vision to benefit from it could use it. Absolutely. You know, that sort of extra content perhaps would be useful. But of course, all that extra content is visual, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of applications spring to mind. One is video calling. Obviously, if you're calling somebody else who is sighted, who wants to see your mug, your face, then that is a benefit. And the other is where you're running a skill that, like a recipe skill, for example, where you want to be able to refer to all of the ingredients at your leisure. Now, a lot of those recipe skills do add cards, they're called, to your A-Lady app on your phone or your tablet. So you can actually review them there. But many of them, where there's a screen built in, will show that, you know, those steps there. So it's like having that information available for you to peruse at your own time. So it's a slightly different paradigm to having to ask her to repeat things.
Well, I think we all want to know how accessible it is and why it's accessible. Now, ultimately, it's because it has a screen reader built in. And as we're about to hear, it's the same screen reader that goes into the Amazon Fire tablets. Well, I imagine what used to be the old Fire phone. I wish they would bring that back. I always just want them to bring back the phone. I think that would be amazing. But anyway, that's never going to happen, is it? They got the fingers burnt on that one. Get it? Fire phone. See what I did? Anyway. Anyway, the Fire tablet does, and I'll be honest with you, I think the Fire tablet's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd call it more of a leisure device than a getting things done device. I like it for listening to books. I like Audible on it. I like maybe even watching Netflix from time to time. I tend to just, you know, stick the screen to the side and just listen to it. But I like it for that. I think it's a really nice leisure device. And the voice view is quite calm. It's quite relaxing. So that kind of works. So I'm assuming it's the same technology that's inside this. And I know that's something you've been looking at your Dot to Dot podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exactly the same. As far as I can tell, it's the same OS that it's using. And I totally agree. Those Fire tablets, for those kind of applications, just for maybe you know, a backup to your other main devices, really cheap. You can't beat the price of those Fire tablets.
Well, compared to an iPad, I mean, what are we talking about for an iPad these days?
I think they start at $349.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, you know, that's a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can get really good stuff. And okay, it's not. I mean, let's be fair to it. It's not an iPad, all right? I mean, it does have some of the apps that are the same, but it's not an iPad. I mean, let's be brutally frank about it. I mean, it's as I say, that's why I think it's more of a leisure device than something I would say is you know, a device you would use to get stuff done, a productivity device, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, pricing start there from $49.99 for a Fire 7-inch tablet. Which has also got Lady A built in, and that's another thing people don't often realise. It's got Lady A built into it as well. Starts at $49. You can get a 10-inch version for $150. And you can get kids' editions as well. And, of course, let's not forget the probably the most popular one, which is the Fire HD 8, which is £80. So £80, you get an 8-inch tablet. Or $150, you get a 10-inch tablet, which is, you know, pretty impressive when you think about it. But let's find out how accessible the Amazon Echo Show is, and that is, as we were saying, you know, the Echo with a screen, if you like. David Woodbridge presents for Vision Australia. He's well known on the Twitterverse and is here now to tell us all about Voice View on the Amazon Echo Show and how it can be accessible, even though it's got a screen, to blind people.
Hi, and welcome to this demo of the Amazon Echo Show. And of course, this is the Amazon Echo that has the 7-inch screen. And the setup process, what you basically do is get it out of the box, of course. You plug the charger into a wall socket. You plug the other end of the cable into the back of the Amazon Echo Show. You turn it on. And then when it comes up, you'll get a hello message from the built-in speech. Now, to invoke Voice View, which is the screen reader for the Amazon Echo Show, you hold in that microphone power button again, and you'll get a tone. And once you hear the tone, release the button and then put two fingers slightly apart on the screen. Hold them there for 5 seconds, and then you'll get a message about whether you want to activate the Voice View screen reader. And you basically keep holding your fingers down until it actually activates. And then basically you're running with a full-blown screen reader, so that with the 7-inch touchscreen, you can navigate. And for those that people have used other Amazon type products such as the Fire tablet and so on, you'll be used to the gestures, simply flicking left and right to go item by item, and then one finger double tap to activate an item. So they're the basic gestures for the Voice View screen reader. And of course, not only do you have the ability to be able to do gestures, of course you've got the four Alexa, the A lady, via your voice, and also the screen, as I said, via gestures. So at the moment, let me just say, Alexa, go to home. All right, so if I flick on my screen, I'm just going to roughly touch the middle of the screen. Doesn't really make any difference where I touch it. I'm going to flick to the right.
20 degrees, cloudy.
So 20 degrees, cloudy. Now, keep in mind I'm in Australia, so that's 20 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit. Flick to the right again.
Try Alexa. What's on my calendar today? Discover more with Alexa. Try Alexa. What can I try? Trending topics. Weird. Python drops into a bank in China. Try Alexa, tell me more. Try Alexa, how tall is Mount Everest?
Okay, so of course I'm flicking to the right now, I'll flick back to the left.
Try Alexa, tell me more. Weird, Python drops into a bank in China. Trending topics.
Okay, and so on. So the nice thing about this is that anything you say is also, or mostly so far I've discovered, is repeated on the screen as well. So if I say, Alexa, what is the time in London?
The time in London is 12:07 a.m.
Okay, and let me read the screen.
The time in London is 12:07 a.m.
All right, let us play a bit of music. So I'm going to play some classical music so it's not too loud. Alexa, play some classical music.
Here's a station for classical music, classical piano. On Amazon Music.
Okay, and two finger double tap. Stops it. Two finger double tap again. Starts it. Now if I flick on the screen.
Amazon Music logo.
I can read what's on the screen. There's the boom sound to go back to the left. Can't go any further. Flick to the right.
Chopin. Waltz number 1 in E flat.
Oh, Chopin.
Grand Valse Brillante.
Tells you what it is.
Cover, Chopin, Waltz number 1 in E-flat, Opus 18, Vladimir Ashkenazy and Frederic Chopin. Classical piano station, 038/449.
That's the time duration.
Slider, 14%.
That's the slider to go through it.
Previous, button.
Previous.
Pause, button.
Pause.
Next, button.
Next.
Thumbs down, button.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs button. Up. And the doink. So we can't go any further. And of course you can activate any of these buttons. Flick
down,
back to the
button,
left.
Next, button, pause.
To pause, button. One finger double tap.
Play, button.
I've paused it. So I hope you've enjoyed this bit of a go-around of the Amazon Echo Show. And as always, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Well, the interesting thing there is there was no issue with the recording there. David took out the...
The name he references.
Yes, which was brilliant, actually, when you think about it. Because I could just imagine all these devices going off all over the place. That sounds pretty good, and actually quite swift as well. I mean, he was getting a lot of information from that screen. I was quite impressed.
It seemed really responsive, really functional. They've obviously put thought into it, so whenever Voice View is speaking, it ducks down the music. Well, you cannot dumb down classical music. Not Chopin, anyway. So, yeah. That, I thought, was really good. It isn't in any way a half-hearted attempt to add, you know, accessibility to an Echo with a screen. Really good. Mm. And you saw there all the additional information that it gave you on screen when it was, for example, playing some music. So, yeah, I love it. Not enough to buy one, though.
Well, I know, that's the thing. I was just about to ask you that. Would you buy one? I personally don't know. I mean, I kind of like the idea of it, but I think it would just be purely for fun. In fact, actually, I'm sitting here, as I say that, I'm sitting here looking at a Google Home Hub, yeah, which is essentially Google's version of the Echo Show. And I have no use for it whatsoever. Not the visuals, anyway.
One reason why we wouldn't go for one is because is your Google Home Hub looking back at you? And that's one thing that I know that my wife has some reservations about, with bringing cameras. I mean, she's come to terms with always on microphones, even to the extent that we've actually got one in every room now.
I know.
So, those, yeah, two. But cameras, I think, is one step probably too far for us. But, you know, is it something that you want to spend that kind of money on? How much is the show? I think it's 200 and something. So you mentioned earlier about the 8-inch Fire tablet, and you can get docks for the tablets that make them always listen and have the microphones that are listening in every direction, like are built into the Echoes in that dock. So it powers the tablet. It in effect gives you an Echo Show for much less money. So
that's right.
That is one option to consider as well.
That's the show mode that you can put it into.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, all of that's accessible. I tried that on my, because I've got a Fire HD 10, I got it on an impulse buy at Christmas time, as most things I tend to buy are. And when I got it from a place where you buy stuff from the television. Starts with Q and ends in C and has a V in the middle. I hope I'm not being too obscure. But, you know, it was a really interesting one because when I got it, I thought, I'll never use this. I don't know why I'm buying it. I'll never use it. It probably won't be even that accessible. Okay, maybe the user side of it, you know, the main OS will be accessible, but the apps won't be. That's actually been pretty good. I've been pretty impressed. So, you know, again, I think Amazon have done pretty well. I agree with you. I don't think they've gone into this half-heartedly. I think they started off fairly half-heartedly, if I'm honest, and the Fire TV Stick's still got a long way to go. But again, a lot of that's the apps themselves that are the problem there. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting piece of kit. I am intrigued by it. Now, just to pick you up on a point you said about the Google Home Hub, I don't think, and I'm going to get someone to check this for me, but I don't think the Google Home Hub actually has a camera. The Echo Show does, but the Google Home Hub, that was actually one of its selling points, if I remember rightly. It didn't have a camera. And the thing about it was the camera, because ultimately this was being sold to go into people's bedrooms, and there was a suggestion that, well, we won't have a camera because, you know, people might not like that. Mm. But, you know, I want to get that double-checked because I could be totally wrong. I don't know because I don't use the camera.
It rings a bell, actually. It really does. And there has been such a backlash. You know, obviously, Facebook have brought out their Portal, which is their own cylinder with a screen. And it's got a camera in there. And there are many concerns about that device. So, yeah, they probably erred on the safe side there.
I mean, I shot my laptop lid at night, just because of what I've heard about what people can do, and if hackers get into your computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, all they're going to see is me munching on chocolate and cakes and, you know, probably watching CNN. That's pretty much my life. So, you know, if a hacker wants to watch that, then good luck to you, quite frankly. It won't be very exciting. But anyway, yeah, that's it. So the Amazon Echo Show is accessible. I'm really glad we're saying that here. I'm really glad that's the case. But I want to move on to, and staying with Amazon's Echo, one of the skills that was recently made available, Virgin Trains in the UK, one of the first, in fact, it is the first train company in the world to do this, have created a skill for the Amazon Echo that will allow you to book tickets, find train times, and book assistance all at the same time. Now, that is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is kind of, you know, that is, it's almost like, oh, well, what would you love to use your Amazon Echo for? This, exactly this. Now, we were talking about this on the Daily Connect, and one of the comments we got from one of our contributors this week was, yeah, it's good. I just wish other train companies catch on, because when it comes to assistance especially, the problem still exists for anyone using any other rail company. This is obviously brilliant news, though, for users of Virgin Trains. Kevin Satisabal is a listener to the show. He has also been a contributor in the past, and this week he did a bit of a demo for us. He bought his own tickets to go on a journey. He wanted to do it anyway, but he thought he would use the new skill, and he recorded it. Now, it's quite lengthy. I don't know how long it is, but it doesn't feel that long when you listen to it. But I will say this. He really does go into the detail, and he shows the capability of this skill. And I have to tell you, when you listen to this, it's pretty impressive stuff. Here's Kevin trying out the Virgin Trains skill. I will warn you, if you have an Amazon Echo sitting nearby, she's going to go off in about 2 seconds.
Alexa, ask Virgin Trains to book me a ticket from London Euston to Milton Keynes Central on Saturday at 1 p.m.
Do you have a rail card?
Yes.
Is your rail card a senior, disabled, 16 to 25 or other?
Disabled.
So that's London Euston to Milton Keynes Central at 1 p.m. on Saturday, 2nd of March, with a disabled rail card. Is that correct?
Yes.
Please wait while I look for some trains. The first service leaving after 1 p.m. is the 1:10 p.m. Virgin train service, arriving at 1:40 p.m. and costing £5.60 in standard. And the second Virgin train service is the 1:20 p.m. arriving at 1:50 p.m. and costing £4.60 in standard. Shall I repeat, search earlier or later, or book the first or second service?
Book the second service.
Okay, great. Upgrading to first class would cost £4 more. Would you like to travel in standard or first class?
Standard.
So to confirm, you'd like to book a standard class ticket from London Euston to Milton Keynes Central at 1:20 p.m. on the 2nd of March 2019, costing £4.60, with your disabled rail card. I'll reserve you a seat once we've confirmed your booking. Would you like to buy this ticket from Virgin Trains?
Yes.
Okay, give me a few seconds to get that booked. Thank you for booking your ticket with Virgin Trains. Your ticket and seat reservation will be emailed to you within the next 5 minutes. I've sent your booking reference to your Alexa app. Now, shall we book you another journey, check train times, book journey care, or finish?
Book journey care.
I found the 1:20 p.m. from London Euston to Milton Keynes Central on 2nd of March. Is this the journey you'd like help with?
Yes.
Great. I just need to ask a few questions to arrange your assistance. So we can help you when you arrive at London Euston. Can you tell us how are you getting to London Euston?
Tube.
So we can help you continue your journey. Can you tell us how are you travelling onward from Milton Keynes Central?
Bus.
So you'll be getting to London Euston by tube and leaving Milton Keynes Central by bus. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you have an assistance dog?
No.
Do you use a white cane?
Yes.
Do you need to use a ramp to board the train?
No.
If a buggy service is available at any of the stations you're travelling through, would you like to request it?
No.
Do you travel in a wheelchair or mobility scooter?
No.
Do you need to use the lifts?
No.
Do you need any help with your luggage on this trip?
No.
Would you like us to save your journey care requirements so that it will be quicker for your next booking?
Yes.
Okay, got it. I've sent those details onto the team. They will be in touch shortly confirming your journey care booking. If you need more information or to change your journey care booking, please follow the instructions sent to the Alexa app.
So that was Kevin Satisabal there trying out the Virgin Trains app, or the skill I should call it, on the Amazon Echo. That was a pretty positive experience, wasn't it?
Oh, that was breathtaking. I mean, I work with the A-Lady every day, so I shouldn't be surprised, but I was really impressed. And that was a fantastic demo as well. Thank you so much, Kevin. So yeah, I like it. Really, yeah. That is an example of a really well done skill.
Really? I mean, you know, you think how complex that must be with all that information that it's got to handle. And it did it effortlessly. I mean, I did do a little bit of editing on that, but there's only one bit where it got it wrong. And just for time, we trimmed it up. And the reason I took it out, actually, was because it wasn't a major error. He said London Underground for his entry point, and it said, "Don't know that, would it be Tube?" So, I mean, it even got that, you know.
Yeah, that's actually an example of where it brings you back on track. I mean, yes, it should recognise London Underground, I suppose. And I would imagine that the data of those kind of mistakes are also collected by the developers of that skill.
Exactly.
So they will add that in. So, yeah, really impressive.
And the only other thing we did to that, just, I mean, you know, to be fair to Kevin's piece, we tightened it up a little bit. There was a few times where it would maybe sit for a second or two. But for the purposes of the demo, we tightened it up a little bit. But all of that happened in real time. And I have to say, I was quite blown away by it, if I'm honest. Now, the one question I had for Kevin, and I've emailed him and he's responded to this for us all, is how do you pay? That's the one thing I couldn't understand. Because that in real time, that was the ticket bought. And I thought, how does that work? So I kind of had the impression that you maybe would have to set up on the app first. And that's kind of true. What you do is the skill itself is linked to your Amazon account.
Yep.
So the default card that you use to pay on Amazon is the one that is used to pay for the train tickets. Do you know something? Even that is pretty smart. I love that.
And that is actually the way that all of the skills that allow you to purchase things work with the Echo. And it is that seamless. It's almost, well, it is like buying through. It's as easy as buying through Amazon. So for the listeners who don't know, you can buy anything that Amazon sells through the Echo, and it already has your payment details and everything. So that's really seamless. But there are loads of skills like Just Eat, like Uber, like Domino's that can allow you to buy things by voice too easily, easily, as you saw just then. So yeah, it's a very powerful device. A couple of things that I wanted to point out on that demo. At the beginning, people might have been aware that he said the whole thing in one string. He said, you know, can we book a journey for this time, this day, to this place? And it just did it. And that I thought was really powerful. That saved loads of steps. But then towards the end, it was quite pedestrian, and people might have been thinking that it was really going quite slowly through the setting up of the booking of the care. I can't remember what that bit was called, but you know.
Oh, well, but the journey care bit.
Setup assistance. As we saw at the end, it won't do that again, unless, of course, your needs change. So from then on, you can just say, do you want to book journey care? Yes, please. Okay. And it's done. Because it knows.
And I love that as well. I mean, you don't have to go through that every single time. It's just save it for next time. Yes.
Absolutely. Really good skill. Really well done.
The thing about this skill is you kind of expect it to fail somewhere, and it doesn't seem to have done that. I mean, the testing on this must have gone on for months to make this work properly. And again, because this is a screenless device, it's accessible, and it has to be accessible to everyone. So we don't have to worry about whether or not it's accessible to us as blind people. Yep. That just doesn't factor in this. It has to be accessible to anybody who wants to use it to book tickets, buy tickets, and also book assistance.
Absolutely. And some people who have enabled skills by developers on their Echo might not have had such a kind of premium experience. And that's because anyone can develop a skill and put it up there. So they're not all going to be as clever as that. But when it comes to major brands like Virgin Trains, you know, you can pretty much rely on them doing a really good job. So yeah, the big brand skills that are on there, and there are loads, you know, give you that kind of magical experience. It's great.
Yeah, I'm really, really impressed. So do check it out. And if you are planning a trip, then, you know, give it a try. I love it. I mean, I'll be honest. I think it was only £4 extra and he could have gone first class. I think he should have done that. maybe that's just me. Anyway, I think it is time to do the thing we were supposed to do last week, Robin. I think we should do it now. And it is our emails.
Yay. Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Bing bong time. So here we go. Let's get into the emails. And to help us with this, as always, we have our reliable... Well, I say reliable. He turns up because he's told to. It is producer Andy. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Well, let's get into the emails, shall we? And let's kick off with our first one today.
Okay, so the first email is from Gordon. He says, "Hi, Tech Talkers. First of all, I am really sorry to hear that Sean and Tim are no longer going to be part of the team. Mm. I've really enjoyed listening to the show over the past couple of years. However, I'm sure Robin will soon make his mark and I'll keep tuning in."
The pressure.
Anyway, rather than gripe or complain, I thought I'd let you know about a couple of good experiences I've had. Being totally blind, one of the biggest problems I face with tech is when an error message appears on my PC or when JAWS suddenly goes silent. Up to now, I've relied on family to be around and help sort things out, but that's not always possible due to their work commitments. In the past week, I've experienced two problems which I knew I could not fix without help, so I turned to Be My Eyes and also the link to Microsoft's accessibility team. On both occasions, the Microsoft technician was able to talk me through setting up a remote access link so that they could work directly on my PC and resolve the issue. It was such a relief to know that an expert was dealing with the problem, and all I had to do was sit back and listen to JAWS while they worked their magic. Be My Eyes is a great app anyway, but having direct access to Microsoft is a wonderful add-on. I cannot praise them highly enough. Both deserve commendations, and I thoroughly recommend them to any visually impaired PC user who experiences problems. Keep up the good work. That's from Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon. I have used this app on way too many an occasion, but purely because, I mean, especially the Microsoft bit of it, because it's just brilliant. I just love this app.
Absolutely. There are so many applications, from knowing whether, you know, how many minutes there are left on the dishwasher cycle, for example, so you don't flood the kitchen when you open the door. I don't know if it will allow you to do that if it hasn't finished, but I don't want to find out. So I always err on the safe side. When your Windows machine is taking an inordinate amount of time to reboot and you're wondering if it's died or if it's in the middle of an update. Yeah, so many instances when you're out and about and you've got turned around and you're not quite sure where you are. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, what is wonderful is I had a situation once where I couldn't get my machine to activate. You know, it says sometimes, you know, you haven't activated your computer, and I knew it was all fine. I just, something was missing or whatever it was. And I went on, and I was on with them for the best part of an hour, and there was no rush. There was no feeling of I was holding anyone back. There's no cost either, because it was all through the Be My Eyes app. So it's a free connection and I'm on Wi-Fi. So there's zero cost attachment to it. And I could have been on there for 3 hours and it wouldn't have made any difference. And the people are so nice and so friendly. So the Microsoft aspect of this is brilliant. And I just wish the day would come when Apple, Google, Samsung, whoever, you know, got involved and did this as well. This would be incredible. I'm quite surprised Microsoft were the first to get onto this app. I you know, would have expected maybe, I don't know, Bob's Cafe to be on it first. Do you know what I mean? Just like a really simple little company. But to get Microsoft on board right away, pretty impressive. But you're right, the Be My Eyes app itself, so useful. I remember trying to find a birthday card for my wife and getting really annoyed because I couldn't read the card. you know, to keep, read the, yeah. the details of it. And I didn't just want to grab any old card, because the year before I did that, and for her birthday, I bought her a happy anniversary card. And, you know, she gets it, so it's all right. But, you know, it was like, that wasn't very nice. So this year, or that year, I was able to do it properly. And it felt good, you know. It felt really nice to be able to do that. It's an app that really does give back independence to a lot of people.
I think it's probably worth saying, just in case there's anyone out there listening who doesn't know where the Microsoft Angle fits in. So you've probably used the Be My Eyes app. And if you haven't, then, you know, I'd strongly recommend it if you have low or no vision. You've probably swiped through and you've seen the button saying connect to first to next available helper. If you don't swipe any more than that, you'll never know that there is another button there saying Microsoft's Disability Answer Desk, and that's what we've been talking about. So there is now a second option to connect you directly to Microsoft accessibility experts.
Yeah, really, really good, and hopefully more. There is talk. Nobody's saying who or what companies are doing it or are interested at the moment, but there has been suggestions made on and predictions made on this program by the company that more is to come, and that is brilliant. Okay, well, listen, Gordon, thank you for sticking with us.
Yep.
It is good to have you here. And, you know, Sean and Tim, you know, will always be missed. But, you know, I say missed. They haven't died. I mean, they'll be back at some point. I said last week, you know, I'm going to go on a holiday at some point. So, anyway, that's if they let me. Let's go to a second email, Andy. What else have you got there?
Yeah, this next email is from Norman. He says, "Hello, young men. Have any of you tried to use a memory stick made for use with an iPhone? I've tried some and I could not use a software on it. Could you help? Also, have any of you got any information on the noise levels of the new electric cars? As of course, it is very dangerous trying to cross the road when you cannot hear them coming. I enjoy the programme and I hope to hear you soon. Thank you very much. That's from Norman."
Well, thanks, Norman. I might let you kick off this one, Robin, on the electric cars, first of all.
Okay.
Do you know much about them?
Absolutely. So there has been official channels making noises about their making noises, the electric cars. So members of parliament have said in the House that they must make a noise. So they will make a noise. What the noise will be or in what circumstances is not necessarily clear yet. So in at lower speed, so in urban environments, I'm pretty sure they will. Now, you might be shouting at your phone at the moment or whatever you're listening to this podcast on, saying, well, they don't at the moment. And that's absolutely true, because, you know, we're still in the very early stages. There are no autonomous vehicles, obviously, but there are lots of electric cars out there. And that isn't a requirement yet, but they're certainly going to make that a requirement going forward. So what the noise will be, I don't know. It might be a car noise. But for anyone who has experienced electric cars coming, when there's any background noise at all, any other traffic or anything, you can't hear them. They're completely silent. I know the rubber makes a noise on the road, which if there was no other noise around, you would be able to hear. But in every other instance, they're completely silent, which is scary, a scary idea, but they will be making noise in built-up areas. So on motorways, I guess the noise can be switched off, but around town they will be making a noise.
Yeah, I remember getting out of an electric car in a park. We were dropped off, my wife and I, in a park to go for a walk, and we get out the taxi and I turned around because I thought I'd left something in the back of the car. So I just turned around to reach for the door and it was gone.
Yeah.
And where did that go? It was silent, utterly silent. And I had no knowledge that it had even gone away. Couldn't even hear it driving away. That was amazing.
We already have to put up with that when we're talking to people. And now we have to with cars.
The
as well.
Cars are leaving us. I know. They don't tell you when they're leaving you. But that's the thing. You know, I think it will come to a point where, I mean, I think that the trick here is to, you know, really sort of play with people's imaginations a bit. So how do you get car drivers to own these cars? Well, of course, you know, make them cheaper, I guess, or, you know, make them more fuel efficient, or obviously in the electric case, more efficient or whatever. But I think with the noise, what you do is you say, okay, so you've bought a I have no idea of any new cars at all, right? But let's say you've bought a Fiat Box, okay? And you've bought your Fiat Box and you're happy with it. But, you know, it's quite a big car. So, you know, it doesn't feel right that it's silent. So give it a really thunderous engine sound, you know? Give it something really noisy, like big tank sound or whatever, you know? Play with people's imaginations a bit. Have some fun with it. Like, do you remember this with sat-navs? Do you remember they had this thing where you could change the voice? You could have Jeremy Clarkson shout at you driving down the road. You know, that's how to get people engaged with this stuff. And then that helps us, you know? That helps us be safer on the road.
I would use an ice cream van.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
That would be good, yeah.
I like monster trucks. I've always loved big, noisy vehicles. So that would maybe suit me. So some kind of monster. But coming out of a really small car.
Anyone who... is blind and uses traffic noise to orientate themselves, they know how important it is. Not when you're crossing the road, even, you know, just as you're walking along, that you can tell where things are. It helps you get about safely. So yeah.
Now on the front, or on the bit of the conversation from Norman there, one of your questions, I should say, about USB sticks and phones. This is a bit of a minefield, if I'm honest. Because there are lots of different products out there you can buy that you can plug in to extend the amount of memory you've got on your phone. But like you're saying, Norman, the problem is, you know, are they accessible? Well, I can only talk from experience. I'm going to tell you about the one I got, which I kind of bought on spec and on hope as well. And it's the SanDisk Connect. Now, what I like about the SanDisk Connect, no relation to RNIB Connect. not yet, anyway. But what I like about this is that it has got a USB connection on one end, and then what you can do is, instead of actually plugging it into your phone, it wirelessly connects to your iPhone and indeed any other device that you've got that you might want to connect it to. So, you know, let's imagine the idea here. So maybe you've got albums on your computer that you might want to listen to, music albums or talking books or whatever you've got. You've got them on your computer, but you want to listen to them on the move. So you get your SanDisk Connect, and what you do is you download the SanDisk Connect app and you set up all of it. It's fully accessible, which is brilliant. The app is accessible. And you sort of connect essentially to the Wi-Fi that is being emitted from the Connect device. And the reason that it has its own Wi-Fi is so you can connect to it anywhere. You know, if you only connected to it through your own Wi-Fi, you'd only be able to use it in the house. So you can connect to its Wi-Fi, which means that when you're on a plane, yes, even on a plane, or in a train, or, you know, in a taxi, you can have this little SanDisk Connect with you, and it's emitting this Wi-Fi signal, and that connects to your phone, and it lets you play, like I say, books or, I don't know, videos, whatever you want. To get the content on there, there's a little cap on the end of the stick. It's almost like a stick of chewing gum. A little cap on the end you pull off. You stick the USB end into your computer, and it just opens up like a normal drive. You can then copy and paste all of the files you want onto that, eject it from your computer, and then put the little cap back on, throw it in your bag, and you have access to all those files through the Connect app on your phone. So to get to the files, you have to go into the app. But it is accessible. It does work well. There are issues with high-quality video files, because sometimes you get streaming lag. You'll get a bit of, you know, stutters a little bit. But most of the time, I found it to be fine. You can connect 5 devices to it at the same time, which is amazing. So, like, my wife and I were on a plane. We were going somewhere. And, you know, she was able to watch a movie off it. I was able to listen to music off it whilst, you know, we're in the air. And, you know, it's like, you know, for 64 gig, I just checked on Amazon, 64 gig is £40. And that's not
I've been waiting the whole time for the price.
Yeah, but what you
that's amazing.
You think it's going to be like £125 or £150. But £40, you can get a 128 gig version. You can get larger, but they don't stock them at the minute there. But it's like £51 for a 128 gig. And it's just a really nice size of device as well, very easy to use. So that would be my recommendation.
This has a battery in it, obviously.
Yeah.
And you charge it through the USB?
You charge it through a micro USB, which is separate. So you use that to charge it. But of course, you know, to connect it to the computer, Because I don't think it charges directly with the computer. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you one thing, the battery lasts a long time. We've charged it once, and we've used it on 4 or 5 trips. It doesn't seem to die, which is amazing.
Sold.
Yeah.
That is
honestly,
that is amazing.
I want to kick back on that one. But no, it's a really, really nice piece of kit. So I would strongly encourage you to try it, because only because I've tried it from the accessibility perspective, it works really well. And I like the fact it's not connected to your phone. That I also like. I don't like dongles or things hanging off my phone. So no, I quite like that. So hope that helps you, Norman.
That's a brilliant recommendation. I did some homework and I could not find any references to accessible apps, you know, companion apps for all of the other iStorage devices or Android storage devices. So that was brilliant that we've got a, you know, first-hand recommendation there, SanDisk Connect. Brilliant.
You're going to buy one, aren't you? I can tell. You're going
to
buy one. You're Googling it right now. Okay, well, the only caveat to this is apps, you know, that are accessible one day might not be accessible the next. So, you know, that's always something to be aware of. So don't put your life's work on it and hope it'll last forever. But I think for, you know, for day-to-day stuff and just for, you know, holidays or just getting about or just adding storage to your phone, it is a really useful option. So, yeah, try it.
Brilliant.
Okay, let's get another email in then. Andy.
This last email is from Jamal. He says, hello, Tech Talk team. It's been a while since I last got in touch. I don't know if you remember me, but he last got in touch about OCR before the Christmas holidays, asking about KNFB Reader or Synaptic, if you read out in the Halloween edition. Two things he would like to ask about. One, do you have to pay a subscription for the OCR app called Envision AI? And the second one is, as I mentioned in his last email, I use a Windows PC and an LG G6 Android smartphone. I've always wanted to get a tablet for myself, as I never used a tablet before. And as you know, Samsung have just announced the new Samsung Galaxy Tab S5e. I've always been confused as if I should purchase an Android or an iOS tablet. Are there any that you would recommend? Should I buy the new Samsung Galaxy Tab, or should I buy an iOS tablet? Could you give me some advice? Always lovely to listen to your show. Keep up the good work. That's from Jamal.
Thank you, Jamal. I feel bad because last week, I think on the show, I said, who would ever buy a Samsung tablet? I don't know. This is an interesting one. I think I almost feel like I want to go back to my point about the Amazon tablet. Do you know the Amazon Fire tablet? Because I think, if I'm honest, it's probably worth the money more. I don't know why I feel that way about Android tablets. I really don't get it because, you know, obviously it's got TalkBack built-in and all that. But I just don't think they've got huge amounts of power. I'm not entirely sure how good they are. I've not used them massively. And when I have used them, I've not been massively impressed. So, I don't know. It depends, again, what you're using it for, but maybe the Amazon Fire tablet's for you. I don't know. What about Envision, though?
So I did a bit of homework, and the Envision app does require subscription. So if people want to go for that one, and, you know, it is a very nice app, then you'll need to know whether it is worth the prices. So at the moment, there's a 30% holiday discount. I'm not sure which holiday. So it might be an ongoing one.
Yeah, what's the holiday? Is that like a DFS sale? Is it?
That's right. Hurry. So $349 for the first 3 months. For the first month, it's $349, and then it's $499 thereafter each and every month. Now, they do have an annual prescription, $27.99. So that obviously is a reduction, and they've got a lifetime one as well if you want to go there. But yeah, it's not free. It is powerful. I have tried it. I would endorse it. So
you would say it's good. You think it's good enough to pay?
that's really tough coming from a position where seeing AI on an iPhone, which I have access to on a daily basis, is free. So that's a tough decision for me to make. But obviously seeing AI isn't available on Android.
Well, not yet. And I guess that's the question. If seeing AI becomes available on Android, which I almost feel like any day now I'm going to see that announcement. But that's going to possibly kill an app like Envision AI, is it not?
Definitely. Now, Microsoft have a stated objective to be on every platform. That's the new Microsoft. But one would hope that it would extend to their, in quotes, specialist apps as well. Specialist products like Seeing AI and Soundscape. Let's hope so.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to remember where these apps came from. Seeing AI and Soundscape essentially came out of a couple of guys at a hackathon who came up with the idea, and Microsoft just got behind it. I hope they don't consider it like some kind of hobby horse. I mean, one thing I've often annoyed me about Google is that Google tend to just stop doing things. It's like, oh yeah, we're doing this week, and next week, just get rid of that, forget it, we're not doing that anymore. I've probably had more emails from Google saying what they've cancelled and stopped than what they've created. So I hope, and I don't think Microsoft do this very often, but I hope they don't do that. But in saying that, you know, from a corporate responsibility point of view, I think there'd be a bit of an uproar if they started to, you know, move away from the Seeing AI or the Soundscape. It just would be good to see it on more platforms. I think that would be beneficial to everybody. Because at the moment, you know, the argument that has been made, and we talked about it, a bit about it last week, you know, iPhone versus Android isn't so much about the phone anymore. It's about what's available on the phone.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can get a lot more accessibility tools on your iPhone than you can Android at the moment. But, yeah, let's hope that changes. So I hope that helps you, Jamal.
Thanks, Jamal.
Yeah, let's get one more comment in. Now, Rachel emailed in. She wanted to save Andy's eyes, which is rather nice. So she has posted her own audio comment on email for us. So, hi, Rachel. Rachel, by the way, I should say to you, Robin, got in touch with us a couple of weeks back. And Rachel was interested in finding out more about the Orbit Reader and also finding out more about just generally Braille displays, but where we could find them. That was the big problem, finding them to go and actually try them out. So let's hear Rachel's update.
Hi, team. Back again. Just a follow-up from the message from last week. I just wanted to say thank you very much for answering all my questions about that. I think I probably will end up purchasing an Orbit Reader at some point during the year, but that doesn't stop me. I still want to go to an event and have a look at one first before I go and spend about £400 on one, just to make sure. Anybody can plug any events, I echo that. That would be really good. They are, I think they're quite hard to come by, to be honest. I must just live in the wrong area, really, as do many. I mean, a lot of us find we've got to travel way out of our area to get to an event that's, you know, decent and big enough. They do have about two events a year at our local society, but, you know, Teesside Society, it's a little venue anyway. So you can't fit a lot of exhibitors in there. I think they only usually have about three or four exhibitors that actually ever go to there. And quite often, normally, they're not ones that are of any good to me. They're normally ones showing off magnifiers and things rather than the main Sight and Sound Human where all the rest of them. So I always find myself going out of my area to a bigger one where more of the main exhibitors go to. But yeah, and whatever events anybody can plug, I tend to avoid the really big, overwhelming ones like Birmingham, just because there's just so much out there. That's why I preferred the Edinburgh. It wasn't too big, but there was just enough, really, that you could get round it in a day. Anyways, thank you again, guys. I'll keep you updated, obviously, as to whether I finally make my purchase. But for now, loving the show, and keep up the really good work. All right then, see you soon. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. That's very kind. And please do keep us updated, actually, because it'd be nice to know how you got on. So Teesside, that's where Rachel is. So if anyone listening is in the Teesside area or knows someone who is and knows of any events, local events or otherwise, where you can get some hands-on time with an Orbit reader, then let us know here at the show, because we can tell you about it, Rachel, and we'll absolutely pass that on to Rachel. Mm. You know, one of the great things about this show is we often end up connecting a number of our listeners, you know, which is brilliant. That's what it's all about. So, you know, get in touch, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That is the challenge, isn't it? Getting your hands on this technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, having enough time to really give it a good test drive. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's 400 odd quid. And you think, you know what? It is a lot of cash. I want to spend time with it. I want to get to know it. I mean, if I was, I spend less on a cooker, you know, and I spend, you know, hours poring over reviews and, you know, you know, spending time in the store. I mean, I think people know I'm having a laugh when I say cooker. But, you know, any piece of kit really around the £100 or £200 mark, once you get past £100, you start to think carefully about what you're buying. So you're not just going to buy it on spec. Although I do, and I will check this for you, Rachel, but I think RNIB have a return policy on it. I'd imagine they will. You know, so if you bought it, you would have maybe 30 days or whatever, 15 days, whatever the statutory is at least, and you could send it back. So maybe check that one out for you and let you know next week. In the meantime, though, that's our up, Robin, again.
Goodness me. Time flies.
It does. It flies when you're having fun. And I have. We've learned a lot this hour about the Amazon Echo Show, which, you know, if you were thinking you could buy it so that... I mean, I was actually thinking earlier about this. You know, you could have a situation where you know, you might be blind, but your partner's sighted. You know, so they may want the benefit of it, but you can also have the benefit too. And I think that's really important as well. You know, not all blind people live alone or marry other blind people.
Absolutely.
Although in saying that, my partner's blind. But anyway, well, not my partner, my wife. She'll kill me for saying that. Anyway, look, that's it for us this week. Don't forget the podcast. If you're listening to us on podcast, thank you. We love you. I know lots of you do it that way. But we are on the radio as well, RNIB Connect Radio. Tuesdays at 1, on air, online, and on podcast is where you'll find our show. You can listen to it on Freeview, channel 730 in the UK, or you can listen to it online anywhere in the world at rnibconnectradio.org.uk. The podcast is on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and anywhere you can find podcasts. For now, though, from me, Stephen Scott, and Robin Christofferson, goodbye.
I made it through another show.
Yay!
Thanks for listening to Tech Talk. Don't forget to check out and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for more great interviews and stories about technology for blind people. Just search for RNIB Tech Talk. See you next time.